This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 17, 2013. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Open session of the Federal Election Commission for Tuesday, December 17, 2013 will now come to order, the last open session of 2013. Welcome, everybody. First item on the agenda is, let me just say as a scheduling note, I had been asked to put a couple of items on the agenda. Items 4 and 5, the agency procedure and the proposed directive. There are, as people have undoubtedly noticed, no documents associated with those because we are still working on the documents. So we will not be discussing those today. So the first item on the agenda is correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move to adopt agenda document numbers 13-54 and 13-56, minutes for the open session held on November 14 and November 21, 2013.
Thank you. The Vice Chairman has moved approval of the minutes for the meetings of November 14th and November 21st, 2013, as set forth in agenda documents number 13-54 and 13-56. So any discussion on the motion? Not, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Next item on the agenda is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the North Dakota Republican Party, A11-11. While folks are getting seated, we have some late submitted documents, so Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document numbers 13-58, 13-58A, and 13-57. Thank you.
Thank you. The Vice Chairman has moved that we suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that we may consider agenda documents 13-57, 13-58, and 13-58A. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Mr. Smith.
Good morning, Commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the North Dakota Republican Party. In the first finding, the Statement of Financial Activity, the audit staff recommends that the Commission find that North Dakota Republican Party misstated the beginning cash on hand balance in 2009 and receipts and disbursements in 2009 and 2010 on its most recent reports filed prior to audit notification. Also, the audit staff recommends that the Commission find that North Dakota Republican Party filed original reports for 2009 and 2010 that materially understated disbursements. For the second finding, reporting of debts and obligations, the audit staff recommends that the Commission find that North Dakota Republican Party failed to disclose debts and obligations totaling $235,563. The audit staff and the Office of General Counsel is available to answer any questions you may have.
Do we have any questions for audit or comments?
Yes, I just have a question. I take it that you have worked with the North Dakota Republican Party to correct these reporting deficiencies?
Yes, Commissioner.
And what was the nature of the problem in the party that you could find triggered these mistakes?
I really don't know. They just... I don't want to throw the party under the bus or anything, but they just they file a lot of amended reports. There appear to be a lot of reporting issues, and so we just worked as closely as possible with the committee to ensure that the public record was corrected. If I had to identify a specific problem, I'm really not sure. I don't know if it's a lack of training or not.
Did you find the staff to be a professional staff, or was it a small staff? What do you? The reason I'm asking these questions is because we see a lot of state, local, and even regional political parties come before us with reporting difficulties, and it's a common problem because as a former state counsel, general counsel to a state party, staffs of these committees tend to be small, and they try their best to comply. But I take it you didn't find any nefarious conduct. You just found lack of proper controls?
Right. Very knowledgeable staff. And we could tell that they were trying to correct the public record. They just needed some assistance in doing so.
Right. I just want to comment that this is a common problem we see with many state, local, and congressional district parties. It's a recurring problem, and it's one reason it's evidence that the registration and reporting regime is difficult to comply with, and it results in audits. It results in requests for additional information. In other words, the registration reporting regime can be quite burdensome for some of these smaller organizations, and it's one reason why, in my history of dealing with regional and local parties, many of them prefer to avoid political speech altogether in connection with federal elections in order to avoid these reporting and registration requirements. So I want to thank you for your good work here in helping the state party in North Dakota. And I just wanted to raise that, flag that issue for the commission. Thank you.
Any further questions or comments or perhaps a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes, Madam Chair, with respect to A11-11, the audit of the North Dakota Republican Party, I move that we approve the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum.
Thank you. The Vice Chairman has moved approval of Audit's Recommendation Memorandum on the North Dakota Republican Party, A11-11, as set forth in Agenda Document Number 13-55. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is legislative recommendations. Mr. Pugh, are you going to lead us off?
Yes, I will. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. The draft legislative recommendations for 2013 before you today reflect input from all the commissioners and staff throughout the agency. As you know, all of the commissioners agreed that these 7 recommendations are priorities for this year. The 7 recommendations include 4 from 2012, and those are electronic filing of Senate reports, making permanent the administrative fine program for reporting violations, conversion of campaign funds, and authority to create SES positions. And we also have 3 new recommendations this year. Those are the authority to accept gifts, electronic filing of electioneering communication reports, and increase in index for inflation registration and reporting thresholds. In 2012, the legislative recommendations were approved in May, and that seemed later in the calendar year than ideal. So this year, we moved the process to the end of the calendar year, which will make for starting the new year with a recently approved set of legislative recommendations. We recommend that the Commission approve these legislative recommendations so that we may provide them to Congress and the administration as directed by FECA, including specifically our oversight committees, the Committee on House Administration and the Senate Committee on Rules and Administration, our appropriations subcommittees, and our OMB contacts. I'd like to thank the commissioners and staff for their contributions to this year's recommendations, including the OGC team, which this year was led by Tony Buckley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh, and thank you, Mr. Buckley. There is an additional document that I had submitted containing 2 additional proposals for legislative recommendations. one on increasing the frequency of political committee reporting in non-election years, and one on fraudulent misrepresentation of campaign authority. The fraudulent misrepresentation recommendation is one that we adopted unanimously in 2012, and I am optimistic that we will again be able to add that to the list. Increasing the frequency, I was hopeful, but I think is probably not going to make the cut this year. I'll just say that I personally think this would be a good idea. It would put non-authorized committees on the same schedule with the authorized committee. And when the original reporting schedules were adopted by Congress, lo, these many years ago, Congress rationally thought that political committees, authorized committees of campaigns of candidates and party committees would be the major players. And now we're operating in a new world where we have super PACs that are raising and spending vast sums of money and are being very influential in elections. There have been some congressional races where outside spenders actually exceeded what the candidates spent. And I think that the public would be served if these outside groups were put on the same reporting schedule as the candidate committee, so that everyone would have access to the same information about all these committees at the same time. And they'd know who was spending money. We're talking about political committees that report all their donors, so that's important information. Been acknowledged by the Supreme Court to be important for an informed electorate to have that kind of information, and I think it would be a good thing that would acknowledge the changed world that we're living in, and wouldn't require additional disclosure, which I would also be in favor of, but would only change the frequency of the reports to put everyone on the same schedule. So I regret that it does not appear that that will get support today, but perhaps another day. On the other reports, I just wanted to say that, you know, once again, we are recommending electronic filing. Every year, hope springs eternal. It looks like the Senate gets closer and closer to actually approving electronic filing. Last time I checked, the estimates were that we would the government would save over $600,000 in taxpayer funds if we adopted this. It's really kind of a waste of money to not have electronic filing of the Senate reports. So I'm glad that we continue to have unanimous support on the commission for that, and really, really, really hope that the Senate will adopt that soon. There's also an interesting proposal working its way through the legislative process on a bipartisan recommendation from the House Administration Committee that already passed the House and is now pending in the Senate to bring more reports into the administrative fine structure. That's not part of our recommendations, but I'll just say I think it's a great idea, and I hope that that gets adopted as well. Another one that I wanted to particularly mention is the authority to create senior executive service positions. We are at a disadvantage vis-a-vis other government agencies because we don't have SES here, and particularly now as we are in the middle of searching for a new general counsel, it would be extremely helpful to be able to have SES to offer, because it's hard to ask even somebody from another government agency to come here when they would have to take a pay cut in order to take on a very difficult and important and challenging job. So, again, I'm glad that we have unanimous support for that, and I am going to keep my fingers crossed that maybe somebody on the Hill is listening. Any other comments on any of the legislative recommendations? Commissioner Walther.
Thanks. So I just want to join your comments on this. I'm glad to see that we are having a number of them rather than, I mean, there's some thought as to, well, maybe we ought to just have one or two or three and hope that they'll pick just one of those. But you never know up on the Hill what might be attractive at any given time. And so I'm glad to be using the full panoply of ones that we've been concerned about for a very long period of time. And certainly the proposal for increasing the frequency of political committee reporting, I totally support. And I hope at some point we'll be able to get that fourth vote. But I think it's one we ought to support.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to address a new entry this year into the Commission's recommendation package, which is to increase an index for inflation, the registration and reporting thresholds for political committees generally, but the political committees that I care most about, and they are referenced in the narrative for this recommendation, are for local political party committees. State political party committees, as you just heard, often run afoul. They don't report accurately, and they get audited, and we go help them. They at least are usually typically equipped to have the staff to comply with the reporting regimes in place here at the FEC. However, small local committees typically run on volunteer services, and they have volunteer treasurers. Most of them are struggled to report to their state and or local authorities. And when you overlay the administrative burdens of Federal Election Commission reporting, the reporting regime and compliance regime, many are simply incapable of maintaining compliance over time. You have Nancy. She's the real estate agent. She volunteers to keep the books. Nancy does it for a year and a half, then she passes the books to Tom. Tom is a school teacher, and then Tom doesn't get all the books from Nancy. And it is very hard for a local committee to register with this commission, maintain accurate reports over time, and we see many audits of these types of groups and ADRs of these types of small groups coming before us. When they engage in federal election activity, they are required to use only federally permissible funds, and they are subject to audit, and they have to demonstrate by a reasonable accounting method that the funds that they use are federally permissible funds. So there is a protection in place to prevent them from using large corporate resources or any type of unlawful resources in connection with their federal election activity. But what the registration and reporting regime does is it effectively prohibits them from participating in federal elections. And this is a shame because these organizations are the most grassroots political organizations in America. It doesn't get any more small d democratic than the local political parties of America. And I have counseled many of them on everything they can do short of triggering a registration and reporting requirement at the Federal Election Commission. And I can tell you it matters to them because those who have tried start getting requests for additional information and don't even understand the letters that they get from the FEC. So they bend over backwards to do everything they can or avoid activity to avoid triggering a registration and reporting activity here. And I think this is the type of activity we need to encourage, not discourage. So this one is near and dear to my heart, and I hope it will be Congress's pleasure to increase an index for inflation, the registration reporting thresholds, whether it is for all political committees, but especially for state, regional, and local political party committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. And just proving yet again that it's a good thing to get new membership on the commission. We get new ideas. This was an initiative of the vice chairman, and happy to support it. We're not proposing a particular dollar threshold. We leave that to Congress's better judgment. But some of these thresholds haven't been changed in a very long time, and in particular the independent expenditure reporting requirement at the $250 level, really really low. So that probably could stand an uptick. Commissioner?
I think.
Oh, Mr. Pugh.
These are both late submitted documents.
We already did that.
Oh, you did that. Okay, thank you.
We're ahead of you, Mr. Pugh.
Sorry.
but I thank you for the reminder, because it would be bad if we hadn't done it. Commissioner Randall.
I support every one of these proposals. I think that, for the most part, including the internal administrative matters, but most of these proposals will enhance disclosure, and which is the purpose of our agency, as you all know. And the proposal that was made by Commissioner Vice Chairman Goodman is consistent with that, because I agree that we want disclosure where it matters and about matters that are significant. And this is a place where we do want to encourage people to participate in the political process and not be afraid to do so because of the complexity of the rules. So I support that wholeheartedly. I also wanted to mention one that has not been discussed much, is the authority to accept gifts, which I think on its face does not appear to be a disclosure matter, but in fact is, because the hope is that this commission will be able to receive gifts that will enable us to have a much more robust IT system that will enable us to provide more information both to the public and to the press that's important for them to have in order to understand the democratic process. So this this proposal, I think, is, which is consistent with what other agencies do, would enable us to go forward into maybe the 20th century? No, 21st century. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess one other that I'll mention is the is another repeat recommendation to expand the personal use restrictions to beyond the individual campaign candidate committees, to particularly to leadership PACs. This is a topic that has come up before, but it's gained a little bit of currency recently after a 60 Minutes report, and I know there are several members of Congress who are looking at this issue, and we stand ready to work with them to, obviously we have language to propose, and we're happy to work with them if they have any further questions about how it would work. As with all of these, I think it's another important recommendation that will help to ensure that people have better trust in their representatives and in their government. Anything further? Mr. Vice Chairman?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission approve Agenda Document 13-58, as well as the fraudulent misrepresentation of campaign authority recommendations set forth in Agenda Document 13-58-A.
Thank you. The Vice Chairman has moved approval of all of the legislative recommendations set forth in Agenda Document Number 13-58, plus the fraudulent misrepresentation recommendation from 13-58A. Any further discussion on the document? I'm really pleased. I think it's a good package of recommendations, and I really hope that Congress takes it seriously. If there's no further discussion, I will call the question. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries unanimously, 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Pugh and Mr. Buckley. The next item on the agenda is meeting dates, because this is the last item meeting of the year, so we have to know when we're going to come back again. Mr. Vice Chairman?
Yes, Madam Chair, we've been circulating a calendar, and we're prepared to get three dates set for January that have been suitable for each commissioner's calendar. And agenda document number 13-57 sets forth the three dates that we should meet, that I propose we meet in January: January 16, January 28, and January 30.
Thank you. Is there any discussion, or would you like to move approval of that document, Mr. Vice Chairman?
Yes. Madam Chair, I move that the Commission adopt agenda document number 13-57, meeting dates for the month of January 2014.
Thank you. The Vice Chairman has moved approval of agenda document number 13-57, meeting dates for the month of January 2014. Any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries 6-0. It's a very unanimous day. It's a nice, nice note to end the year on. Which brings us to the ever-important election of officers. This being the last meeting of the year, we always take that time to elect new officers for the following year. Do we have any motions for chairman? Commissioner Ravel.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. It's my privilege to nominate Lee Goodman to serve as chairman of the commission for the calendar year 2014. When Mr. Goodman and I arrived at the FEC a few months ago, I had the pleasure of nominating him as the vice chairman, and he was unanimously elected by the commission to that position. He has served admirably in that role, making the very best motions I have ever heard anywhere. So it's going to be a hard act for anyone to follow. Prior to joining the commission, Vice Chairman Goodman received his BA and JD from the University of Virginia, and he is still a proud resident of that very beautiful state. He practiced election law in private practice for the better part of two decades and has served in a number of important governmental and political posts. His extensive knowledge and good judgment in this field of law will serve him very well as the chairman. He is, above all, a gentleman and a person of integrity. He truly personifies his own name. He is a good man. He will serve the commission with honor and with distinction, and I look forward to working with him closely. Accordingly, I would like to make the motion to nominate Lee Goodman to be chairman during the calendar year 2014.
Thank you. Do we have any further comments or discussion on the motion or any other candidates that anybody wants to suggest? It's never happened, but I don't want to, you know, this is a democracy here. I don't want to foreclose anything. I also am delighted to be handing the gavel over. And I have great confidence that the vice chairman will serve very ably as chairman. I will call the question. Commissioner Ravel has moved that we nominate and elect Lee Goodman as chairman of the Federal Election Commission for the year calendar year 2014. Any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously again, 5-0, with the vice chairman modestly declining to vote. Do we have any nominations for vice chairman? Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to nominate Commissioner Ann Ravel to become the vice chair of the Federal Election Commission for the calendar year 2014. I've enjoyed getting to know Ann over the past 2 months since she joined us here at the commission. It's not an easy place to join when you have four commissioners who've been here for a number of years, and Ann and Lee have both jumped in, you know, feet first and done an excellent job at, you know, getting up to speed, not only on the legal issues we have before of us, but the numerous administrative and charmingly fun other issues that we deal with here. So I've been very impressed at how quickly the two of them have been able to jump in and participate in a lot of difficult conversations. I've enjoyed getting to know Ann. I'm looking forward to serving with her on the Regulations Committee next year. She and I will be chairing that committee, and we've already started meeting and anticipate some interesting and fun progress in the coming year. I had the honor of meeting Ann's children, two of Ann's three children, at her confirmation hearing a few months ago. And most importantly, she has a granddaughter, a three-year-old granddaughter named Sophia. I haven't met her yet, but hopefully she'll come to the East Coast and meet us soon. I've had the opportunity to see Ann speak in her former capacity as chair of the California Fair Political Practices Commission. She gets lots of questions and lots of interest in her presentation. She did an excellent job there and was appointed by the governor, Edmund G. Brown. Prior to serving at the FPPC, she served as Deputy Assistant Attorney General for Torts and Consumer Litigation in the Civil Division of the United States Department of Justice and worked as an attorney in the Santa Clara County Council's office for a number of years. She received her BA from the University of California, Berkeley, and her JD from the University of California, Hastings College of the Law. I move to nominate Commissioner Ann Ravel to serve as vice chair of the FEC.
Thank you. Commissioner Hunter has moved that we nominate and elect Commissioner Ravel, vice chair of the FEC for calendar year 2014. We don't have seconds. If we did, I'd be happy to second it, second the motion. I'm going to enjoy watching Lee and Ann run the show. Do we have any discussion on the motion or further nominations? Don't want to foreclose anything. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yeah, I would just like to say that it was my luck and my honor to be nominated with Commissioner Ravel back in the summer, and now to serve with a vice chairman who will serve with honor and distinction, has great experience and integrity, and I look forward to working with you.
Thank you. Commissioner Walter?
After the vote, I'd like to point a personal privilege.
Okay. Any further comments? If not, I will call the question. Commissioner Hunter has moved that we nominate and elect the Commissioner Ravel as vice chair for calendar year 2014. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries again unanimously, 5-0, with the Commissioner Ravel modestly declining to vote for herself.
Because Lee did.
And I also really want to express my appreciation to both of them for the way they've thrown themselves into this job and enabled us to move a lot of things forward in the last couple of months. By being willing to just let us throw things at them and saying, okay, I'll get up to speed. I'll be ready to vote on next week on this or that. So I really, I very much appreciate that. Commissioner Walter, did you wish to be recognized?
Yeah, I'd just like to say one of the most thankless jobs a person can have is to be chairman of this commission. And I just want to water that down a little bit by saying thanks for being chairman again and for doing such a good job and working hard to make us work harder, and that's not always an easy job to try and herd not just wildcats, but there's some animal out there that make even more difficult. But in any event, and I know we are controversial, as you know, and you steered us through some tough storms sometimes on some of these issues, and I thought. As always, you did so diplomatically on these commission hearings, and again, thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Walter. I appreciate that.
May I be recognized for a point of personal privilege at this point as well?
Certainly, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes, it is apparently a tradition I'm learning that the commissioners each year honor the outgoing chair, typically with a tangible gift. And we have provided our chair with a tangible gift.
I left it at home. I wanted to share it, but I left it at home.
But for the record, we, the commissioners, decided this year to make a charitable donation in honor of our outgoing chair, Ellen Weintraub. And each commissioner has made a donation that we are sending collectively to a local charity that was started in the basement of the Westminster Presbyterian Church called Food and Friends. And it serves over 1,800 meals to people who are homebound with life-challenging illnesses. And each commissioner has written a check in your honor, Chairman Weintraub. And we want to thank you for your service. I have gotten a glimpse of how to run the agency, and that it can be quite difficult, and I will try my best to fill your shoes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I'm sure you couldn't fit into my shoes. And I really do want to express my appreciation to all of my colleagues for a gift that really is I can't think of anything that I would have liked better. I mean, sometimes we give each other gavels, and I said, please don't give me a gavel. Let's do some good in the world, and I really appreciate and can't think of any way that I would better appreciate being thanked than to provide some meals to homebound folks in our community who need the support. So I do really thank you very much. And there was a gag gift that was presented to me that I actually intended to bring with me and share with everybody, but I left it at home. That was actually an accident. Commissioner Peterson, do you wish to say something?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just also want to echo what's been said about thanking you for your tireless and often thankless service. It's exhausting enough to be chair once. You've now done it twice, and live to tell the tale. And so, you know, I thank you for the efforts that you've put in. You've had to, you know, deal with some challenges that that most of us haven't with a shutdown that occurred that through our operations. you know, offline for the better part of a month, and. The preparation that had to go into that possibility, and then what needed to be done in order to get us ramped back up very quickly. I remember reading, you know, a lot of articles saying how, you know, agencies are going to take weeks, maybe months, to get back up to speed. But you ensured that that the agency was back up and running and doing its essential work very quickly, and I want to thank you for your efforts on that and all the rest of the leadership that you've shown this year. And so I remember the best day of my chairmanship was the day when I yielded the gavel. So I congratulate you on making it to this day, and again thank you for all of your efforts during this past year.
Thank you, Commissioner Rabb.
I have obviously only known you for 2 months, a little less than 2 months, but what I find to be most not just remarkable but inspiring about you and your leadership here is your commitment to this agency and how much you have done to make it operate well and how strongly you believe in the mission of the agency, and that should be the inspiration for all of us, and it certainly is for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it my turn now? Traditionally, also, the chair gets to make a few remarks. Thank you.
Copy
of a nice letter about the donation, which I really, really do appreciate. This has been a challenging year to try and lead any government agency, but certainly this one. We were down a commissioner for the better part of the year. We lost our general counsel halfway through the year. We had to deal with sequester funding and then a government shutdown. It's been a challenge to try and move the agency forward under those circumstances. I was pleased that the entire commission was unanimous in setting the priority that despite sequester funding that we were really going to try to avoid furloughing our staff who work so hard and are so dedicated to the mission of this agency. And because of that shared commitment, we managed to, you know, scrimp and save everywhere else in the budget, and we managed to avoid furloughing anybody in FY 2013, only to be hit by the shutdown immediately in 2014. Unfortunately, the way that we managed to avoid furloughing anybody was we stopped backfilling positions. So we've been operating at a lower staffing level than I certainly think is optimal. There's a lot of important positions that have gone unfilled, and a lot of staff, really all the staff, have stepped up to the plate and done a really extraordinary job that I appreciate every single day. I mean, when people, I appreciate the nice words that my colleagues said to me, but really I didn't do anything. It's the staff that really keeps this agency running, and I appreciate their efforts and their dedication every single day. It is certainly true that being the chair of this agency is a thankless task. You get a lot of administrative hassles. I was laughing with the vice chairman yesterday about trying to set the schedule, just trying to set the calendar for the agency and figuring out, you know, coordinating six people's calendars and when people were going to be ready to meet. And that's the kind of glamorous task that you get when you're chairman. And I have to say, I'm not really sorry to be handing over the administrative role. I'm hopeful that maybe next year I can can focus more on thinking more deeply about some of the important issues that are in front of us, and maybe doing some more writing and tweeting about what's going on around here. You know, when they give you the gavel, it's an honor and a privilege to be chair of the FEC, but it's not a terribly powerful position because they don't give you any extra votes along with the gavel, and you still need four votes to get anything done. One idea that I had earlier this year that didn't really catch fire around here, but I'm going to just kind of throw it out on the waters, and maybe someday we'll come back to it. We have, on a number of occasions in the last number of years, held hearings that focused on our enforcement process, and I started it. I held the first one the last time I was chair, and we've done it several times since then, and have adopted various changes to our procedures as a result. I think that it would be really beneficial for us to hold that kind of sort of a global hearing focusing on our regulations. I think it would be useful for all of us to sit in a room together and hear from people with diverse views. Some of it would be predictable. You know, I'm sure that we would get a certain number of folks that we could all predict right now who would come in and say we need less regulation, and a certain number of folks that we could all predict right now who would say we need more regulation. But what I envisioned was something where we would do some outreach and try and bring in people beyond the Beltway, beyond the usual 12 election lawyers in D.C., God love them, who comment on anything of substance that we do, try and hear from some people out in the country about how our regulations, you know, focusing on our regulations, not the law or the court decisions that other folks have had any number of conferences about, but focus on our regulations and how they impact the political process, how they affect the way people do their jobs and try and express their political views and exercise their franchise, and whether they feel well-informed, whether they feel like they have the kind of information that they need to be the kind of informed electorate that the Supreme Court has stated is so important to our democracy. And one of the reasons why I think this would be really useful is that we tend, in a very broad sense, we tend to live in our own information bubbles, where we get news from sources that are congenial to us, and we talk to people who agree with us. And yes, we all have friends out there in the community who are active in politics, and we hear from them. But I think it would be useful for all of us to sit in a room, particularly because we have a diversity of ideological views, and hear from people across the spectrum that will challenge us and maybe help to inform future regulatory projects or perhaps future legislative recommendations, or perhaps future litigation. One thing that was striking to me when I first read the Citizens United decision was that the perspectives and the premises of the majority were so very, very different from those of the dissent. I mean, they just seemed to come at these issues from Mars and from Venus. And there wasn't a lot of factual record in that case. So it was really, you had justices of the Supreme Court who were operating based on really what seemed like gut reactions about how politics works. And I think we could perform a useful function in trying to collect some more hard information about what really happens out there when people are involved in politics and when they're making decisions about it. So I throw that out there because I think it would be a useful thing for the agency to do, and I don't think it really matters who's holding the gavel if we were to convene such a hearing. So that's my little soapbox piece. I also, of course, want to thank all of my colleagues. I tried hard to move particularly our enforcement agenda. I think sometimes people thought I was a little bit overly ambitious about that, but we did make a solid dent in it, and we will continue to work on that because when this meeting closes, we're going to, launch into our last executive session of the year, and I'm not letting them out of the building until we make some more decisions. But to go back to a theme that I've mentioned before, really the most important the most important asset, the most important resource that we have here is the staff. And back when I was first chair, I had a little ceremony at the end of my final session where I recognized various staff, people who had really stepped up to the plate and put in extra effort. And then a few years later, we started doing formal employee recognition ceremonies. We didn't do that this year because of the sequester, but I think that really is unfair to the staff to not allow them the opportunity to be recognized for their efforts. So I'm going to, I asked all of our senior managers to make recommendations, and really the list was too long and we had to pare it down. So please don't be offended if your name's not on the list. It doesn't mean that we don't think highly of you. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The people whose names I read will get this very spiffy certificate, Chair Weintraub's Going the Extra Mile Award in recognition of your performance during the past year and your contributions to the effective and efficient operation of the Federal Election Commission during my tenure as chair. I am presenting these special recognition awards for achievement in thanks for your efforts in furthering the important mission of this agency. And I just can't say enough about how impressed I am by how dedicated the staff are, despite not having gotten a COLA in years and dealing with things like the threat of furloughs and being sent home, you know, without a paycheck and not knowing whether they were going to be paid during the shutdown. The dedication that the staff of this agency have to the mission of this agency is really critical to our being able to get anything done. So I would just like to describe a few of the many people who have done really exceptional work this year, particularly stepping up to the plate at a time when we are understaffed. We had in the last couple of years, in fiscal year 2000, I'm looking for my piece of paper, 2011-2012, we received 361 complaints, which I don't know if it's a record setter, but it is certainly tops the 294 that we received in 2009-2010 and the 318 that we received in 2007-2008. That's a lot of work to process. And on the other side, of course, the volume of information that gets filed here has really ballooned in the last couple of years. And we've been receiving that information with fewer staff to review the reports and to help people out. And that's why it's just so important that we have the staff that we do to do that work, to look at the information that gets filed, to make sure it gets posted to the website so the public has access to it, to help the public and the members of the regulated community so they can comply with the law, to audit and analyze and make recommendations to us about enforcement issues and to give us their very best judgment, telling us what we need to know and not necessarily what we want to hear. It's really critical that we have staff to do that. So a few of the many people who really excelled in that mission were, I will start in OGC, Kate Higginbotham, who stepped up to be our acting assistant general counsel for admin law. We had a huge volume of FOIA requests and congressional document requests this year, and Kate really took over that process. It's a very sensitive process, collecting information, working with people throughout the building. She's got an incredible attitude, positive, good-natured approach to her work and her colleagues, and incredibly efficient, and we really appreciate her doing this. Recently, we received a request from a member of Congress, and he asked for it on a certain deadline, and he got it on that deadline, and apparently said, wow, I really wasn't expecting that you were going to be able to do that. But we were, and that's thanks to Kate. In our policy division, Jessica Selenkoff enmeshed herself in technical issues. She worked on our technological rulemaking project, which I hope is still going to make progress in the next year, as well as the ever-controversial Bitcoin's AO request, and throwing herself into these high-tech issues that are really not part of the normal wheelhouse of an FEC attorney, and really went above and beyond, and we thank her for that. Now, here's a particular favorite for me, who I really think deserves recommendation, is Tony Bell. Tony Bell is the guy who is often the last person here when commissioners are delaying and debating and trying to figure out exactly what words they want to put on paper. At the end of the day, we come up with a document, we put it, and we say, make it blue. And Tony's the guy who gets stuck staying late without complaint, to work with the Secretary's office, the Info Division, the Disclosure Division, to make sure that those documents do go blue and, more importantly, are made public so that people have access to them and can comment on them and can get important information to us about that'll help us make our decisions. So it's usually an unheralded role, but thank you, Tony. We really appreciate you. Theo Lutz in our policy division has, it's not clear whether he's volunteered or been volunteered three times to be a special assistant to the general counsel and the deputy general counsels to help them manage the entire work of the Office of General Counsel. He has strong writing and analytical skills and, again, a person of great good cheer. And we always appreciate seeing your smiling face and appreciate all the efforts that you've put in to help us make us a better and more efficient place. Still in OGC, Margaret Foreman in our Compliance, Advice, and Ethics division has done a really great job, both with her substantive work, but also in thinking about how we can better do our job, recommending new submission procedures for our requests for legal consideration, and working with a variety of different offices throughout the building, designing and implementing a new commission webpage that shows the commission's prior decisions on these requests and explains how to submit a request. So thank you for being proactive and thinking about how we can better do our job and helping us to do it. Lee Evans, who is one of our newer attorneys in enforcement, and unfortunately is homesick today, so someone will have to tell him that I said nice things about him. He really is another person who hit the ground running, has been a tremendous asset, worked on several very complex and sensitive high-profile matters, which, of course, since they were in enforcement, I can't describe, at least not at this time. He's demonstrated outstanding writing, negotiation, and advocacy skills, and has done really great work in his first year and a half with the commission, and we look forward to his future here. And if you really want to make Lee happy, ask him to show you a picture of Oliver, his very adorable little boy. He will be happy to do that. Going from more junior to a more senior person, Mark Allen is one of our most seasoned attorneys in enforcement, and also this year has been one of our most productive. And because of his great experience, he's been one of the go-to people in OGC when we have difficult and complex and sensitive matters, and really has been helpful in moving some of those matters forward. Thank you, Mark. We really appreciate your efforts. Another new lawyer in our litigation division, Charles Kitcher, again, has come in here and done great work, very skillful advocate. In August, when everybody was on summer vacation and we got an unexpected court order, Charles dug in and on a brief that he hadn't even worked on before and turned it around in a couple of days. Also worked with the Solicitor General's office to prep for the McCutcheon case, and really has done outstanding work this year. We appreciate it. And finally, in OGC, we want to salute the departing Al Veldhuizen. Colonel Al has been with the commission since 1999 and also has served in the Army Reserves, and now is leaving us to take a full-time position as Chief of Administrative Law at the Fort Belvoir Military Installation. So we salute you, Al, and wish you Godspeed and good luck in your new job. In the office of our Chief Financial Officer, Vito Pietanza and Sam Stewart have both done really yeoman's work in our procurement efforts this year and have stepped in again when we were short-staffed and made it possible for us to buy things and to enter into contracts, which is really one of those critical backroom functions that nobody ever thinks about. But if you don't have good people doing those jobs, you really can't get it done. We had a backlog, and they really worked hard to reduce that, and we appreciate all of their efforts. Thank you both. On the staff director side, as I said, we've had, you know, we're low on staff, and that means that we have to keep moving people around. And one of the people who is always willing to take on new responsibilities and let us move her to new places and take over new divisions is Dana Brown, who recently took over as our interim head of HR. And we know she's been working overtime to try and address these issues and keep that office running, which is so important to all the employees who work here. And thank you, Dana, for once again stepping up to the plate. Christian Hillard in our press office gets up really, really early every morning so that, you know, we can get first view of what all you guys in the press are saying about us early in the day so we can start our day off right, and has worked very hard this year particularly to help to redesign the press office webpage so that it's more user-friendly for the press and for the public who want to see what we've been doing. So thank you, Christian. And then I have a couple of teams that I have to recognize. The shutdown has been mentioned several times, and there were a number of people that really did put in many extra hours, including at times when they didn't even know if they were going to get paid, to help us shut down the agency and then bring it back up again, and particularly with a complex IT environment that is... that is quite a challenge. There's a lot of work that goes on there. And Commissioner Peterson mentioned it, but really it had nothing to do with me. That was all due to our good staff. And, you know, I meant to mention earlier, we are at the, speaking of IT, we are coming to the end of a multi-year project to improve our IT infrastructure. Again, one of the problems with sequester funding is that we never have enough money to put as much resources into things on a yearly basis as we would like to. And since we don't want to shortchange our staff, we often steal the money out of IT when we're running short, and then we give it back to them at the end of the year if we have any extra. So that makes planning a little bit more challenging. But we have been working on this project for a number of years now, and by next year we will start to see the fruits of those efforts in improved search functionality, for example, which is something that I know everybody who deals with this agency is really going to appreciate. So I'll just put in a plug for that. Look for that coming next year. We'll be really happy to finally be seeing the outcome of that after working on that development for many years. But going back to what I was saying about the staff, and this isn't exclusively an IT group, although it's a lot of them are from IT. The government shutdown response team, the folks who really put in those extra efforts to make sure that we were able to have an orderly shutdown and then come back to life again at the end of the process in a relatively timely fashion. And as I said, came in, worked extra hours, didn't know if they were going to even get paid for it. So I want to really, really thank India Robinson, Estev Mead, Wenchun Jan, Jun Lee, Jim Allen, Wei Lu, Paul Clark, Jeff Chumley, Rohan Jaya Sakara, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Gasha Mengistu, Pat Fongsvirashati, Scott Wang, and Larry Calvert. Somebody who is like one of our go-to guys in any emergency. We always need legal advice from Larry. Thank you all. I know how hard you guys worked. It was really very much appreciated. And finally, you know, we've been talking about, this is another theme that comes up over and over again. This year, because of the sequester and our not backfilling, our RAD division was down to about 75% strength at this point. We really have far fewer analysts than we really need to do our job properly. And yet, RAD still managed to review over 15 million pages of reports for the 2012 cycle, which was a 6.8 million increase over 2010. I mean, think about those numbers, 15 million pages. For anybody out there that files reports here, if you think, you know, what am I doing this for? Is anybody going to care? Is anybody going to look at it? Yes, the answer is we do have people who look at it and make sure that we get it right, and they're available to answer questions and help people get it right. So I am actually going to list all of our line RAD analysts who really all deserve a special commendation for their yeoman efforts this year to review all of that massive amount of information so that the public can be informed as it has a right to be. So thank you to Laura Beaufort, Carolina Monjan, Tyler Culberson, Vicki Davis, Ryan Furman, Ben Holly, Chris Jones, Robin Kelly, Brad Matheson, Jill Sugarman, Chris Wyrick, Maureen Bennett, David Butler, Caitlin Eager, Kevin Forkowitz, Brian Jones, Sarah Juris, Rosa Lewis, Nicole Miller, Chris Morse, Ed Ryan, Laura Sinram, Paul Stotzer, Armin Tarzi, and Kui Vong. And these are just a few of the many really great people who make it a pleasure to come to work every day. So thank you all, every single one of you, every person in the building. Anybody whose name was mentioned, please stand up and get a round of applause. Will get a nifty certificate from your chair while I'm still chair. Recognizing the staff is really the very last thing that I would like to do as chair of this agency, and I look forward to working with you all again from the other side of the table. If there, oh, Mr. Staff Director, do we have any management or administrative matters that we need to address?
Madam Chair, not that I'm aware of.
Well, if you don't know, who does? With that, the final meeting of the Federal Election Commission open meeting for 2013 will come to a close, and I wish you all a very, very happy holiday season with your loved ones. This meeting is adjourned.